Kum lana nablat gemara, it is Moitzoi Shabbos, Parshas Chayisara. We're on Daf Tzadik Zayin, Omed Aleph, and the end of this week in Mitzvah, we finish Masechet Erevin. So, the last thing we learned about, we're talking about if you find tefillin on the way, we have one opinion, you bring in one pair at a time, one opinion says you bring two pairs at a time. Then we talked about if you found, there's a difference, you found new, and our Mishnah says that if you found a pair of tefillin, if it's new or if it's old, you made a difference. And the way we understood the difference between new tefillin and old tefillin was, and Lul said that you can only bring in two pairs at a time if it's old tefillin, not if it's new. So we understood is that old tefillin meant, even though the straps were unraveled, we can tell that it was bent, like the dalad in the back of the tefillin, so we could tell definitely it's tefillin. But if it's brand new tefillin, you couldn't tell whether it was really tefillin or whether it was a kameh, an amulet that people decided to fashion like tefillin. So therefore, chadoshes, you cannot bring back if you have loose straps. And then the Gemara, the last thing we learned yesterday was that there's a machlekes tanoim, whether the Rameir says that even chadosh is brand new, you can bring back, and Rabbi Yudah says you can't. And we explain the difference is Rameir says that he doesn't believe that people would go through the bother of emulating the tefillin and making amulets that look like tefillin. So therefore, definitely you can assume it's tefillin. And Rabbi Yudah says, no, people will go ahead and make the tircha, and they might want to copy, you know, tefillin. They think it adds some kedusha to it and it makes it more effective. That's how we learned. But now the Gemara is going to change his mind. In fact, the next piece of Gemara is only the way Rashi learns, the Rambam and the Raivid and another, but the Rambam has a different shuttle together. He sticks with the way we just said before. But we'll continue the Gemara like Rashi. Says the Gemara, and now that the father of Shmuel Bar Avitzchak, so in other words, I guess it's Avitzchak's father, Elu Hein Yishonos, he says, you know what the definition of old ones are? Not unraveled straps, but we can tell there used to be a dalad there or yud, but rather koshi yesh behen ritzus, anything that has straps, umekusharis, and they are tied, is that's what the old one is. In other words, that they are still connected and tied. And what the chadoshes are, yesh behen ritzus, are straps in the tefillin, but v'loy mekusharis, they're not tied, they're not knotted, they're not tied, and that's the problem. The problem is, in order to, a lot of carry the tefillin, if you're carrying it like the mitzvah is to be knotted. Can you make a kesher on Shabbos? The kuli amulet tarich inshe, everyone agrees and nobody would make, it's not a question of being an amulet. The question is it really tefillin? And therefore, because it's a question of if it is tefillin or not, therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says that you have new ones, which means they're not tied. They're not really tefillin because you haven't tied them down, and that's why you cannot carry it on Shabbos. Says the Gemara. So the problem is the melacha of tying. Says the Gemara, v'li anvinu men make just a bow, and you're allowed to make a bow on Shabbos. Omer Avchid Chizah says that even though Rabbi Yehuda holds you're not allowed to make a bow on Shabbos, but since you're definitely going to untie it, then Zay Semeres doesn't approve that a neva psula but tefillin, that a bow is possible by tefillin. You need a proper knot. You need a proper knot, a knot. Abaye says, no, Rabbi Yehuda the time, you know why I didn't make a bow? Not because a bow is possible for tefillin. Maybe a bow is kosher for tefillin, but you can't do that on Shabbos. You found the tefillin, the loose straps, you cannot wear it unless you tie it, and you cannot even make a bow because, according to Rabbi Yehuda, a bow is considered a knot. And you now do that on Shabbos. So he said, Aniva, Abai Omar, Rabbi Yehuda Tamei, is consistent with you. The Omar, Aniva, Kshira Ma'al, you see, that a bow is considered a knot. Says the Gemara, so you're telling me, and therefore you cannot do that on Shabbos. Now, there's a big machlekes, Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Leyo. Rabbeinu Leo holds, when it says, "Ksharim la'ois al yedecha," you should tie your tefillin on your hand. He holds that every morning you have to make a bracha. Before you make a bracha, you have to undo the knots and tie it again. Because the Gemara says, you make the bracha, the Menachah says, you make the bracha from when you put it on your hand until kshir, until you tie it. And he differently holds that you have a mitzvah to tie it every day. Rabbeinu Tam brings an eye from the Gemara here that there's no mitzvah tied every day. You make a kesher once. All we do is we tighten it every day, but we don't actually tie it. Because otherwise, brand new tefillin, why should it be usher? Since you have to untie it every day, it's definitely not permanent. So why are we saying, hey, you're not making a knot? Because it's permanent. There's nothing permanent about it. It's a raya that it is permanent. Once you make a knot on tefillin, it stays that way for a long time until it unravels by itself. And therefore, you know, I'll do that on Shabbos. So this is a proof to Rabbeinu Tam versus Rabbeinu Elio. Says the Gemara, you're telling me that really a bow would be good for tefillin. The only problem is, of course, you now make a bow on Shabbos. Is that really correct? Says the Gemara, time, the only reason is that never kshirim ayisi, because a bow is a knot. Halavachi, if not for that, onivlu, you can make a bow. And sounds like you want to say that's good for tefillin. Rav Yehuda, the son of Shmuel, son of Shilat, mashmei the Rav, the name of Rav, keshesh at tefillin halacha l'moishim b'sinai, the knot of tefillin is halacha l'moishim b'sinai. According to Tesis, it's only the knot. When it says keshesh atfilin, according to Tesis, it means the shin that you put on the batim. According to Rashi, it's the shin you put on the batim, but also the dalad you put on the back, and also the yud that's by the shalyad. These are all halacha mezuzina, according to Rashi. So l'chayda, how can you make a bow? It has to be a knot. And when we say, for example, the shin, it shouldn't be inside the tefillin between the compartments. It should be outside on the bayis. Says the Gemara, so it has to be a proper knot. And you want the onivluk ain't shilidu. You somehow or another were able to make the bow to look just like the knot that is halacha l'moishim b'sinai. And therefore, Abaye says, so what's the problem? You could have done it. The only problem is that you're not allowed to make bows on Shabbos. So what's the problem? According to this version, what's the reason why chadoshos you cannot bring in, according to Amulet, because chadoshos, they're not tied to the tefillin, so they're not really tefillin, you're not yetzer tefillin, and if you're not yetzer tefillin, you're not allowed to wear it, because they're only allowed to wear it either the mitzvah or even not the mitzvah. It's like you would wear it during the week, so it's a garment. Says the Gemara, Omer Chizam Rav, Halakeach tefillin, if you purchased tefillin, Mimishen Mumcher, as Tesa brings, really you shouldn't buy tefillin unless you can know the guy is a trustworthy person. But if you be the ever, you bought it already, so what do you do now? And we don't want you to open every pair of tefillin because it's a bazillion to the tefillin to open the stamma zeis. Omer Rav Chizam Rav, Halakeach tefillin, Mimishen Mumcher, if you're buying tefillin, somebody's not an expert, Boydek, so how many do you have to, usually by Chazaka we say three, so Boydek, Shtayim, Shalyad, V'achel, Shalosh. Be boided two from the hand and one from the head. Eshtayim shalosh, two from the head, va'achashe and one from the hand. Says the Gemara, what's the point of that manushach? Why shalyad and shalosh? Imechad gaber kozav, and if the person you're buying it from bought it from one other seller, then leave the. You want to know what the other guy knows what he's doing. So either be boided shalosh shalyad or shalosh shalosh, three from the hand or three from the head. But you're concerned that he might have bought from different people. So then every pair of tefillin you should check, because how do you know which ones he bought from where? Kol chad v'chad libayi b'dika. You should check each one. He bought it from one person. So what? But we need to make sure that they know how to write tefillin inside the shalyad and inside the shalosh. So you have two from one and one from the other. So Rabbi Shmuel said, "Betfilin boydik sholosh liyad v'shol roish." You check three from the hand and from the head. Sounds like three from each. My life, or at least three of each. Oy sholosh liyad, oy sholosh roish. One or the other. No, sholosh mehen shliyad mehen shroish. Three, a total of three. A couple from the hand, a couple from the head, whichever one you want. So the Gemara told Rabbi Kana, Rabbi Kana has betfilin. Rav Kahana said by tefillin you have to be boided two of the hand and the head. Only two, not three. Says Yomar Hamani Debi. Remember we'll have an argument in Yavamas. A chazaka is it twice, two times? A woman whose husband died unnatural death is called a katlonis. And the question is if after two husbands died unnatural death, she should not marry a third time, or only after three times, she should not marry a fourth time. Rebbe says two times is a chazaka, and Shingul says three times. So this memory here that you have to only check two pairs of tefillin follows Rebbe that holds two is a chazaka. Dama betrezim na have a chazaka. Says the Gemara, Rebbe, Amos sefer. Look at the sefer of that brayse. It says b'chein b'tzavas. If there's a pile, if there's a whole pile together, yeah, then hasheni that you have to check another pile because every pile might have come from a different buyer. The chayim b'tzavas is a third pile as well. You just said according to Rebbe two is enough. Here it says three. The Rebbe shlishim miisle. Why in the world do you have to check a third one? It says the Gemara moed Rebbe b'tzabasim. Rebbe's moed when it comes to piles. The metrei tlosa gavra zavin. Rebbe's moed when it comes to piles. That piles definitely every pile probably came from different buyers. So you have to check each one. So the Gemara, if so, you have to check each one. Why stop at three? If l'vinami. But if it be four piles, you should check four. Or if it's the five piles, you check five. Why? It sounds like you're only limited to three. Says, you're right. V'haydik toni shlish, you know why it says three? To tell you normally a chazak is two. I want you to know that we're not following the rules of chazak here. Logically, every pile has to be checked out. So it happened to be three, it's three. If it's five, it's five. Because no more, it's no longer under the rules of chazak. La'fuke mechazake. We're taking it out of the world of chazak. But really, I feel a revi, I feel chamishi nami. Fourth or five times. Every pile has to be checked. In the Mishnah it says, Motzon he found tzabosim, which are like bundles, or krichas, or piles. So what's the difference, tzabosim or krichas? My tzabosim or my krichas, what are the two? I'm going to be Rav, so the Rav, hein tzabosim, hein krichas. Actually, they're exactly the same things. So what's the difference? Tzabosim is zuzuzi. Tzabosim are pairs that feel tied together. And krichas, the krichin tuve. That what? You have a whole bunch of tefillin piled together. Not just pairs of tefillin, but a whole bunch of pills piled together. Says the Gemara. In other words, in the first case, Zuzuz, they're tied. Al-Sharosh, Al-Shayad, they're tied together. Here, they're not tied, just a bunch piled up. So the Mishnah says, what do you do? Machshich alein. The Mishnah says, what you do is you wait. The Mishnah gives. The Mishnah says that what should you do? If you found these piles, it's not enough time to bring it back in. So what you do is you wait until Motzei Shabbos, you bring all the tefillin back in. And Rav Shimon says, you give it to your friend and your friend to his friend. You know, each one walks less than four amos until you bring it to the very outskirts of the town. And the same thing with your child, you give to your friend and you bring it to the outskirts of the town. So you're going to explain each part. First of all, you wait till nighttime. Why don't you just bring it in, you know, pair by pair? Omar Rabbi Yitzchak Berei Rav Yehuda. Rav Yitzchak Rav Yehuda said, "L'didim mefarshim neid. I understood the Abba from my father, Rav Yehuda. Kol she'ilu machnisen zug zug. If you bring them in pairs by pair, v'kalois kajicham, you can do it, achieve it before Shabbos is over, before Shkia. Then machnisen, bring it in, zug zug. V'yiloy, but if you can't, mach. Since you cannot wait filling after Shkia, mach she'chalein levin. Wait till Motzei Shabbos. They bring it in. Then he said, if it's sakana, you cover it and you go home." Right? In other words, you can't, or sakana means you cannot hang around it, and you're worried, you can't hang around it, it's a danger, and you're worried that it might get robbed or stolen, so therefore you go home. It says the Gemara, Bavatani, we're looking at Braise, Uve sakana, when there's a sakana, Melicha in Pachas, Pachas, Bababa, says sakana, you should drag it less than four amas. In our Mishnah, Rav Shimon says you give it to your friend. I mean, Rav Shimon never likes you alone to carry less than four amas because we have a gzera. If we can allow you to carry less than four amas, eventually you might forget and carry more than four amas. But in our Mishnah, says Zakana, you cover it and you go home. And here it says, Zakana, you bring it less than four amas. What's going on here? Omar Rav Lekasha. Ho, besakonas, nochri. Ho, besakonas, listen. Depends what the sakana is. The sakana is a goy. Or the sakana is robbers. And Rashi here is two pshatim, but he likes the second shot better, which is that our Mishnah is talking about sakana of going. They made a decree that no one should be wearing tefillin. So therefore, you can't walk around with tefillin on your head because you'll be caught and you'll be killed. And therefore, the problem says shah sakana means not only when they're piles. Even in the case of wearing one tefillin at a time or two tefillin at a time, there's a decree that no person should wear tefillin. Therefore, it's a sakana. You just leave it where it is and you go home. Okay, or if they find out, you can get home. It doesn't matter whether it's a pile, whether it's only one or two pieces of film. So what you do is you just cover it. You don't want it to be lying there in a bazillion, and that's enough. But the braisa that says that you can bring it home less than 4 hours time, there's no sakana for you wearing film. You're just worried about robbers stealing the film. So therefore, it's only talking about a case of the piles. And therefore you're scared to stand there, you're scared the robbers might hurt you, whatever it is. So then we say, bring it less than 4 amas at a time. Don't leave it there because the robbers might be mazals of them. And who knows what they'll do with the tefillin. Says the Gemara, Omle Abaye, B'mayu Kimtel Maslisin. So how do you learn our Mishnah? B'sakonas Eve Gululim. Our Mishnah is talking about the sakana that the goyim say, you know, I wear tefillin, so no matter what, even if you want paired tefillin, you shouldn't bring home, just cover it. Amos Sefer, Rab Shimon says, Noisan lechavele vechavele chavele. Shimon says, give it to your friend. Isn't that even worse? If the government said, you know, I wear tefillin, so it's not just one person bringing it and walking it, you get a whole pile of 20 people, each one carrying it for 4 amas. Everyone will notice it. You're endangering people's lives. Koshkin da'av shemilsa, you're making more noise. Some words are missing. This is how you learn. When is all this talking about? This is what the Mishnah say. He's talking about a Sakhar Vagoy. Avo Besakonas list him. If all you're worried about is robbers, then the best thing is Mavlichen Pochas Pochad Aldamas. You say that what the Tanakhama says you walk then only one person does it less than 4 amas at a time. Reb Shimon disagrees. He says I think it's better to have a whole group of people and each one carries less than 4 amas. What's the crux of their argument? Better. One hole that less than 4 amas is better. The amrit, if you can say nice, the chavele, av shemilsa the Shabbos. It's not nice for Shabbos. Looks like everybody's carrying. You're getting 10 people involved. Looks like they're all carrying a Shabbos. And you're drawing attention to it. You're mezalzel Shabbos. So therefore, it's better for one person to carry it quietly, discreetly, all the way home. It's better to give your friend because the amrit malichin poches ma b'amrit. If you can tell this guy you take it less than 4 amas, zim nin lavataiti. Sometimes you lose cheshbon. You might carry 4 amas in the shusur abim. And then the Rav Shimon said, the same thing applies to your child. What child? What's the child doing there? If his wife gave birth, the mother of the child gave birth to him in the field. Now the child is there. And we're not talking about sakonos nefasos. And the Rav Shimon says, therefore you pass it to your friend and each one carries less than 4 amas. So what do you mean? Even 100 people? The afagav the kashla yada l'chayda, changing hands is harmful for the baby, or it's a nuisance or uncomfortable for the baby. For the halchi hadif, it's still better because we're scared a person with mechal Shabbos carrying 4 amas or shalabim. Rabbi Yehuda, then the Mishnah finishes off. Rabbi Yehuda says that you can give a barrel to your friend. Rav Shimon says you can give a child to your friend, each one carries less than 4 amas, so too you can take a barrel of wine, give it to your friend. And even though it's out, let's say Reuben is the owner of the barrel, his tchum Shabbos ended at a certain point, you can still continue carrying the barrel because there are other people there and each one is taking it according to their tchum. And they said to him, no, you can't. The barrel cannot leave the tchum of its original owner. Says the Gemara, "V'lesle Rabbi Yehuda ho." I mean, it's a rule that everyone agrees with. Not a behema v'akelim, that a behema and the vessels can only go be carried on Yom Tov the same distance that the owner in the beginning of Yom Tov was able to carry or take it. I'm a Rish Lakish Levi. He saw the Hochmai Rish Lakish, the name of Levi, the old man Hochmai Skinen. B'ma'adam echav v'lechav. Talking about the water. You emptied the contents of water from one barrel and you poured it to another barrel, so the barrel taket cannot leave beyond, let's say, the tchum, original tchum. But the water can. And why? Could Rabbi Yehuda tell me, Yehuda is consistent of Yudama, Mayim ain behem mamash. If Yehuda holds that the water has no significance. He talks about a case where Shimon gave water and salt to Reuven, and Reuven mixed it into the flour. So one opinion says that you can now on Yom Tov carry the flour only with both the water and the dough. The two owners can carry with the overlap. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no. The water is lost in the dough, and therefore it's mainly the flour. Wherever the flour can be taken, that's where this can be taken. It's not, we learn, Rabbi Yehuda says, by water, it's non-existent. They should aim them mamish. There's nothing tangible and no significance. So the same thing over here. So what does it mean when it says that they said to him that this should not go more than ragle bala? I mean, this. It seems like we're talking about the barrel. And you're telling me that the barrel of Yehuda agrees it's only the water. Says the Gemara, lo yahalach mashe bezu yaisim ragabayim. That which is inside the barrel also should not be transported beyond where the original owner can walk. Says he might understand. What do you compare it? Aim of the Shamal Rabbi Yehuda. What do we know about Rabbi Yehuda? Hecha the Bilim Isa. There the water is lost. If you look at the dough, you see water, you don't see water. So we say it disappeared, it's not there. All we look at is the flour of dough. Abba Hecha the Isna Binayim Mishamatle. But here in our case, the water is present in the barrel. Who says that the water can be carried beyond the original point of the owner, the original chum of the original owner? And furthermore, Hash the Big Data, when it comes to a pot, and let's say you have water and turn it into gravy. Amar Avihuda lebotli ben lebotli. Avihuda says in this case, with one guy puts the meat, one guy puts the water, and now the water is mixed up in the gravy. He says only with both of the common two owners, the meat and the gravy, and the water can walk. So madach of the water sort of mixed up in the gravy, and yet he says the water is in existence. Surely water in a barrel is in existence. Surely the tchum should follow wherever the water of the original owner is able to walk. Madach hash the big data by the case of the pot with the gravy. Amar Rabbi Yehuda loy botli, that the water is not nullified; it's there and it can only be taken chum wherever the owner of that water can walk. Is beinayu botli, but when it's sitting present in the barrel, you tell me as if it's not there. The Tanya Yehuda says mayim umelach betelim be. So water and salt are botli when it comes to the dough, but they ain't there, not in the pot. They're right for it because the gravy is there. Ella, what is the Rav? I'll tell you what's going on here. We're talking about a case here, Bechovis Shekonza Shvisa. The barrel Friday night, there was an owner, and therefore it had a certain limit how far you can take it. Abemayim, the water was only filled in Shabbos morning. So Friday night, the water did not establish its tchum. Shalakonu Shvisa Askinen. And so what? The Botle Chovis Gaman. You would think the water is secondary to the barrel. Actually, it's not. The barrel is secondary to the water. Either barrel might be worth more, but the main purpose is to carry the water. So therefore, the barrel is bottled to the water. The water has no tchum, and that's how Yudah says there's no tchum. If you carry a living person on a bed, you're not chai for carrying a living person, because chai noises asma, a living person carries themselves. So it's and potter afal mitzvah, not only a potter for carrying the person, you're potter for carrying the bed, because the bed is secondary to the person. The bed is secondary to the person. If you carry food on Shabbos inside a pot, but the amount of food is just a little tiny morsel, very small, and we learned in Shabbos that there's a size for each kind of food, like a gregor, the size of a dried fig, then potter, you are potter not only for the food that you carry, but af ala kli, also for the utensil. And why is that? Because the utensil is secondary to it. Take the barrel and water. The barrel is bottled to the water. Says the Gemara, if so, Masiv Rabbi Yisiv, Rabbi Yisiv, question, Rabbi Yehuda says, it says clearly, b'shayara, only in a caravan. You remember we learned that a caravan, if three yidin are together, not in a normal place, we loosen the rules, that even though normally we say if you surround an area that's wider than two soyim, you're not allowed to carry, but if it's a shayara, three people, and each one, then they join together, you're allowed to carry even wider than two soyim for each person. So Rabbi Yehuda said, b'shayara, only in the case of a caravan, we relax the rules. Noisen adam chavez lechaveda vechaveda lechaveda. Only in this case do we allow the barrel to be, you know, ferried from one person to the next person. But otherwise you can't. B'shayara in shalei b'shaloi. And yet now Misha seems to be saying that Rabbi Yehuda says you can take the barrel from one person to the next person, to the next person. Rabbi Yosef, kitnanam nasisim b'shayara. So I'll tell you that our Misha is talking about a case of a caravan, not a normal case. And that's what we're talking about over here. And that's why, even though it's outside the tchum, forget what Rava said about water, that the water had no tchum. We're talking about a normal case, the barrel, the water has a tchum, but a shayara, three people, you're allowed to, and outside the normal home, that's why you're allowed to transport in this way. If it's a caravan, even if the water was koine shvisa, you're allowed to move it about. If it's not a caravan, Chavis Shekonza Shvisa, it's talking about a case with a barrel, like Rava said, acquired Shvisa, or B'mayim Shaloi Kona Shvisa. And water that did not acquire Shvisa. That's why the water can be carried and the barrel is secondary to the water. And they can be taken outside the Tchum. Ravashi Yomar Hocha, but talking about Chavis de Hefkas, because no, a barrel has no owner. And we follow the view of the Rabbanim that say that if there's ownerless, there's no law of Tchum on this barrel. B'mayim de Hefkas, water that's Hefka. Says the motive. So, man omrlo, who argues with him? Who says to him, no, you're not allowed to carry it. You're not allowed to give it one person, the next person, the next person. If it's ownerless, who says that? Rabbi Yechiel ben Nuri, which we had earlier, Rabbi Yechiel ben Nuri says that even something that's ownerless, then the keli is koine its own shivisa. Therefore, you're not allowed to take it beyond 2,000 amas, where the keli started out, beginning of Shabbos. Dama chefse hefke koine shivisa. So what does it mean when it says this should not go more than the ragle habaylim, more than the foot of the owner? There is no owner, you just said. So he said, shouldn't go more than normal kalim. If kalim had an owner, you're not allowed to go more than 2,000 amas from where the owner is residing on Shabbos, same with the kalim. You're not allowed to take the kalim beyond 2,000 amas where the kalim was sitting in the beginning of Shabbos. Next Mishnah. Are you kind of a sefer? You're reading a sefer Torah. Ali is kufa, and you're standing on the threshold, and we'll see later in the Gemara whether this threshold is 10 tfachim high and 4 tfachim wide, which would make it a shusay yachid, or the threshold is less than 10 tfachim high, so it's a karmel. So you have a house, which is a private place, the threshold, and then you have the street, which is a shusay rabin. And you're reading a scroll, and when it's galgul ha-seifim yod, the scroll rolled out of your hand, you're still holding part of it in your hand. So maha Torah, even if it lands on the ground, you're allowed to roll it back because it never really rests on the ground because you're holding part of it in your hand. But the Rabbanan, we don't want you to pick it up. Next time it'll fall out of your hand and you're going to stoop down and pick it up. Goyle etse, you're allowed to roll it back to yourself. Why? Because you're still holding on to it. Hayakoyle bereisha gag, you're on top of a roof. Again, or a shusay yachid. When it's galgul ha-seifim yod, it rolled out of your hand. Ad shalai gilas ha-tfachim, if it's still in the airspace above 10 tfachim, so therefore It's like a makom tur goy. Let's say roll it back. Once it reaches asar tvachim, we have a problem. Now, why do we have a problem? Because there's a shusar rabbi. We're scared if we let you roll it back, next time it will fall in the street and you'll pick it up, but you're not allowed to. What you have to then do is turn it around, because it's a bazillion for the words of the sefer to be exposed. So therefore, you turn it around. The Shach and Shulchan Aruch learns from here that you're not allowed to leave a sefer open and walk away. In fact, he brings as a malach. I forgot the name of the malach he brings. That he's a malach for forgetting. So if you learning it from a sefer, you walk out of the room it doesn't say for how long, and you leave the sefer wide open, you will forget everything you learned. So that's why we put another sefer on top of it or something, so it would block it. Others disagree. They say only if you go away for a very long time. He learns it from here, because it says that you shouldn't leave the letters exposed, you should turn it around, facing the wall. Rabbi Huda says, Afilu ein mesulut min ha'aretz, ela kemolei machat, even if it's raised above the ground, the length of one needle, goydel es, you can roll it back to yourself. Rabbi Shimon says, Afilu be'aretz atzma, even if it's lying on the ground. True, the Rabbanon were worried that it might drop it and pick it up, but because we are worried about Bezoyan Sefer, we're going to suspend that Issa the Rabbanon. We're not talking about some book, we're talking about holding a Sefer. Goydel es, they bring it back, she'ein loch dover mishum shavus, oim bibin nekizik kodesh. That because it's holy scriptures, then Issa Gzei Rabbanon is not going to prevent you from bringing it back. Says the Gemara, "Hi, is kufer dama." This threshold, what are we talking about? Ilem is kufer shusa yachid, so you have a house, a threshold with shusa yachid as well, and the comma which is down in front of you is shusa rabim, and we allow you from the threshold if it falls out of your hand to roll it back, even though there should be exalted rabbanon. The leg, as even I worry, deal enough, it might fall out of your hand versus you bring it back. Mani, who would the author of that be? Who holds that we're not worried? In the second case of the mission about the Gag, who's the one who says we're not worried if even if it's touching the ground you can roll it back? That's Rav Shimon. Dama called Dava Shem Shem Shus, anything which is Issa Drabbanon, Einu Oimed Bifne Kisvi HaKadosh, you will suspend the Issa Drabbanon in order to protect the holy books. Eim is safer. Then look at the next part of Mishnah. Rav Yehuda says, "Afilu eim mesuluk minoros molechut." As long as it's raised from the ground, even just a hair breadth, the size of a needle, goyle esa, you can roll it back to yourself. And then Rav Shimon says, "Afilu ba'aretz atzma goyle esa." Very weird. And so, Reish at the very beginning of the Mishnah, the author is Rav Shimon. If you're standing by a threshold, even though it falls on the ground, you're allowed to roll it back. And the safe for the end, if you're standing on a roof, it's Rav Shimon. And then Mitzios, Rabbi Huda, in the middle, you throw in Rabbi Huda's opinion, says that no, if it touches the ground, you cannot roll it back. It has to be raised a little bit, elevated from the ground. Where do you find that, the same Tana is broken in between with some other Tana? All Rabbi Huda, yes, we do it sometimes. Reisha v'sefer Rabbi Shimon, Mitzios, Rabbi Huda. We have no choice, we'll have to say that. However, Rabbi says, no, Hocha, we're talking about here, Iskufa hanidreses askinon. This threshold is very different than the case of the roof. This threshold, people are constantly walking in and out of the house. And therefore, because people are walking inside the house, it's a much greater bazillion for the sefer to be hanging there in the air rather than on the roof. The roof, people don't walk through where the sefer is, so therefore it's not such a big bazillion. So Rabbi Yehuda argues and says, look, if it's touching the ground, we're not going to let you roll back. But over here, on the case of the threshold, even Rabbi Yehuda's made, if the sefer rolls out and touching the ground, roll it back, because it's a bazillion. People are walking back and forth, crashing through it. Bazillion kisvei kodesh, shor rabban. Everyone allowed it. Okay, well, what's happening? We'll continue tomorrow, Mr. Shem, because it's right in the middle. We'll continue tomorrow.